I invite you to join me in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, you receive, bless, and multiply whatever we offer for the sake of the world. Thank you for working in us and through us to continue miracle making. In Jesus' name, amen. So the following lines from today's gospel have truly spoken to me this week. If we were to go back to Mark 6, verse 31. Come away to a deserted place, all by yourselves, and rest a while. So I have a question for you. How are you doing? Thumbs up. You can participate. Thumbs down. One thumb up, one thumb down. Both thumbs down. Seriously, how are you doing? So much has happened in the last 2 weeks in our world. I haven't been here for a couple of weeks, and so much in my own life has been happening. And so if you feel like connecting, and I specifically want to invite you to come for prayer after worship if you feel the need for some time in prayer. I'll be hanging out before I go see Mr. Klenner, who I understand needs a lot of prayer because of his grumpiness. So he's having a couple of thumbs down days. So I do adore Bob. He's awesome. So I'd love to sit with you and pray or chat, but I can say that the last 2 weeks have been extremely difficult for me, as I have had to take on my own inventory, if you will, as how I am feeling about so much that is happening in our world, not simply internationally with, you know, Gaza and Ukraine, nor domestically, or even locally in the state of New Mexico in the Roundhouse, what's ever going on there, who knows? Maybe Kirk does, I don't know. So I found myself having to care in some way, in a different way maybe, for my soul more than usual. Are you doing that for yourself? There are so many voices, right, in our everyday life that is almost impossible to stop, to be still, and to know that God is God. The 19th century American author Henry David Thoreau said that, and I quote, "We have more and more ways to communicate, but less and less to say." Now, that was pretty long ago, and that was way before X or Facebook or, you know, the advent of that little computer that you have in your purse or your pocket right now called a phone. Screen-based technology is sometimes hard to unplug. The fact of the matter is that when we discover what lies beyond the noise and we settle into that space, it often comes as a great relief to realize that in that solitude, when we stop striving, when we switch off our phones, when we settle into something different, even if it's for 5 minutes, we can gain a different perspective, we can breathe deep, and we can expand into the people that God created us to be. And I love that, created us to be. If you've been following the last week, there's been 16,000 Lutheran youth or such in New Orleans. And every day was the theme, created to be, right? Created to be. Not do, but to be. A way of being that is grace-filled and expansive both and at the same time, a space I believe that only our God through Jesus Christ can truly provide for us. But it's hard because there's always more to see, to do, to respond to, and it's hard to rest. Yet this is what Jesus is inviting his apostles to do in the gospel this morning. And by extension, it's the invitation he is giving to you to just try it a bit this week. So in the past couple of weeks, I just had to turn off those talking heads, the voices, and the guilt inside of my own voice, the critical choir, if you will, that said, you're not doing enough to usher in the kingdom of God on earth. So I did some more walking. I went down to my local park, and there happens to be a Cooper Hawk family that has taken up space in our park, Las Palmas, off of Paseo del Norte. It's not the first time. The last couple of years, there's been a huge nest on the other side of the street, but I found out recently that the male in that couple was hit by a car, and so the wife or the mother of his children went off to fly and find a new home. So a new couple came in, and they have four babies that are now growing. And so the two older ones are banded and are being monitored by the rescue place in town here. And I found out also that there's about 300 Cooper Hawk nests scattered around Albuquerque. And they're not native to this area, but they have found their way to us. So I sit under the tree and I watch these birds as they swoop out of their nest and they communicate with all kinds of chirping noises as they focus on protecting their home base from us humans. There's one guy in the neighborhood that doesn't like them, and so he throws rocks at them. You know, we humans have a propensity towards violence. Even if it's just at a bird nest that is so far, I mean, I don't think the best pitcher in the MLB or could, is it MLB or baseball? Anyway, the baseball could pitch a rock to knock that bird out of its nest, but this guy thinks he can. Even my dog, Koi, enjoys the cool of the park with her orange ball and the shade, as the flapping wings of the family circle around her. Oddly enough, getting out into nature reminds me that new life and the mystery of hope is possible. It's really possible. American poet Emily Dickinson was so astute when she wrote, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." Hope. We are people of hope. Our faith speaks even louder to that hope from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, and I quote, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Hope, eternal. Resting in the Holy Spirit offers us the calm and the peace that God only through Jesus Christ can offer. So for right now, maybe just trusting in the Holy Spirit a little bit, leaning in, and maybe moving that down thumb a little bit up, we might be able to breathe deep outside of our own anxiety to that which is unseen, but in the feathering hope of the Holy Spirit. God's word this morning promises that God regathers us into hope, restores our soul, and replenishes our hungering spirits through the unwavering reassurance of grace toward us and compassion for all. No matter how exhausted, irritated, fearful, grieving, or uncertain we may be about the future. Regathered is a great word. And in a few weeks, Pastor Kristen will be coming back to regather with you in joy. Well, in our story today, there are 12 apostles that were away for a fixed amount of time, and they regathered. They returned exhilarated by all accounts. However, they still had a litany of exhaustion. And in addition, we can speculate that they may have just heard about the murder of John the Baptist. Their grief must have been raw and palpable. The danger of King Herod still lurks on the political landscape. And we, the disciples, know very well that this is not the last time we've seen King Herod, nor the Herods that surround us these days. Jesus poises himself in this landscape. And what does he do? He listens, and the apostles explain that the people are spiritually and physically hungry for a leader who will shepherd them, protect and guide and care for them. And we are even given the description that they are like sheep without a shepherd. And so what does he do? How does he respond? He slows everything down and he offers compassion. And he begins to teach them many things. A biblical understanding of compassion can include, but is not limited to, such actions as mercy, sympathy, empathy, or even pity. Now, I don't personally think or interpret this text that Jesus is pitying the people. It's not in his nature for me. A friend of mine relayed a compassionate story this week. She was at her local grocery store, a Safeway, not in this state, but in Colorado, and an unhomed man in his 70s, late 70s actually, was standing at the usual place, where many stand in that grocery parking lot, asking for help. She briefly turned to put her groceries into her own vehicle and was going to turn back to the gentleman. When she looked, she saw a younger woman, perhaps someone in their 30s or younger, approach the man. And the first thing that she saw was that this woman took the man into her arms, as if she were hugging her grandfather. She hugged him, and she asked him his name. She listened to his story, and at the end, offered him some help. My friend said she had never experienced such a spontaneous, sacred moment of compassion in that parking lot or in her life. And yet she wondered, could she ever do what that woman did for that man? Most of us think that compassion is giving to those in need, but biblical compassion goes even deeper. The Hebrew word is rachum, and it's related to the womb. The imagery is a mother caring for her vulnerable and weak baby, a mother bird in a nest. And it can bring about intense emotion. My friend, almost a week after this visual experience, was still reeling with intense emotion, not towards what she saw, but within herself on how she was challenging herself to reorientate her attitudes and her own responses when seeing an unhomed person. Her soul was deeply touched by the kingdom of God coming so near to her. Compassion, not just emotion, but action. And as you may have experienced yourself, compassion fatigue can set in. I was reminded deeply of this fatigue last weekend with the news of the assassination attempt in Pennsylvania. It took me back to January 8th, 2011, and the shooting of Gabby Giffords in Tucson, Arizona. My congregation was next, very close in proximity to that Albertsons parking lot. I had people who, from my church, in that parking lot. The neighbors to the shooter were neighbors to, the neighbors to the shooters were members of my church. The fatigue in that city, not just in my congregation after we had to go into lockdown, resonated and vibrated for months afterwards. Every time there was a fire back of a car going, whatever it was, it took us back to the sounds of the bullets flying. First responders, doctors, military vets, maybe even you who are having to care for chronic members of your chronically ill members of your family, know how chronic fatigue affects the body. Psalm 91:4 offers this image of compassion. God shall cover you with feathers, and under God's wings you shall take refuge. God's truth shall be your shield. For the Greek word for compassion is way too hard for me to pronounce. It's not like the Hebrew one. So I'm not even going to try it. It's kind of like chanting. I don't even give it a try. In other words, compassion is that gut feeling that, or that feeling in your heart, those pulling the strings. Jesus' response involves more than a warm and sensitive heart. He knows the people with whom he is engaging and who are being denied well-being and justice. And the offense of how they are being treated seizes Jesus in his heart. His ministry becomes ever more important. And the journey to the cross and all of its miracles that lead to Golgotha bring the kingdom of heaven to earth right now. For the past few months, as I have been more actively amongst you here on Sundays, I have seen this kingdom on earth. Sabbatical time for those who are privileged to receive such a gift is being offered a piece of heaven on earth right here at All Saints. It's a powerful thing, my friends, for a congregation to offer your rostered leaders time away to rejuvenate, rest, learn, and experience God's abundant grace. So I hope you guys are not taking this sabbatical time that offers Pastor Kristen for granted. Not every congregation is willing to do what you are doing. Some just choose not to. Others can't afford it. They're too small or not able to readily offer volunteers to fill in. You have stepped up. Thank you, as a colleague to Pastor Kristen, for your care of her soul. Pat yourselves on the back. Let me see it. Participate a bit. Now, I want to turn my attention to Pastor Patrick for a moment. He doesn't know I'm doing this. Because you may need to offer him a bit of respite after the respite time. He's doing an excellent job of hurting us cats. And I really mean it. Us volunteers who sometimes just wander off and decide we're going to do our own thing. And then he sometimes has to herd us back in and said, no, we're going to do it this way. But thank you, Patrick, for stepping up, for showing us your compassionate and just heart. Jesus lives through you. From my observation, this time of renewal has benefited many of you in this congregation, and the teachings have been varied, the preaching, a smorgasbord, if you will, of personalities. There's four or five of us in here right now, and all of it filled with the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. So you may, at the end of this, feel yourself more inspired to serve. And I'm going to say, yes, you can rest a little, but don't go away. Don't go away. Participate more. Because rejuvenation is needed for all of us. And maybe it's the rejuvenation to serve more. A kick in the pants. So people of hope, this community needs you, not only in this building, but outside. It needs each one of us to live into hope, compassion, and service. So you are, and I want you to hold this, feathers on the wings of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being feathers on the wings of the Holy Spirit. And now I need to share with you that this will be my last Sunday with you for a while, because I've been asked to do something that I said I was never going to do again, and that is to be an intentional interim pastor somewhere else. I will still be in Albuquerque, but I won't be able to be worshiping with you here. I'm not going to say where I'm going because the paperwork's not signed, but I will miss you. I will probably put my membership here. I'm not sure. And this is how the Holy Spirit works, because I said the last time I was in an interim position, this is the last one. And I said it the last six times. So I will still continue to be your visitation pastor, and you can call me if you need that as well. So I will miss you, and I thank you. You have fed me, but fed my hungry soul, because you are people who offer grace. And that grace can transform relationships. It urges people of different backgrounds to reconsider old allegiances and actions that can give people hope. We live in a world where cynicism and fear could dominate. Shut it down. Be hope. Hope that gives birth to compassion through the feathers on your backs. Amen.